to the political cesspool known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back, one and all, to the third and final hour of tonight's live broadcast of the Political Cesspool radio program from AM 1380 WLRM studios in Memphis, Tennessee, and going out to the AM-FM affiliate stations of the Liberty News Radio Network from coast to coast and on the Internet as well. I'm your host, James Edwards, and chalk up that last hour to another excellent interview of a program that constantly exceeds your expectations. And now joining us, a man who always exceeds those expectations as well, a man who's been coming on this program, as I mentioned at the top of the show, since our very inception, an America First activist extraordinaire and the proprietor of the website ArkansasFreedom.com, Joe McCutcheon. Joe, how are you doing tonight?
Good evening, James.
Good to have you back, my friend. I know you were just on this program in late December to talk about a different matter, although both you and I have been paying close attention and keeping close watch over the progress, or lack thereof, of the Tea Party movement. And, you know, I've kind of gone back and forth on that, Joe. I think there's a lot of good people making up the Tea Party protesters, and they're certainly protesting worthwhile causes, although it seems there's never a manifestation of conservative populism that doesn't get infiltrated sooner or later, and you know about that all too well.
Well, I'm not hearing you too well. Is there some way you could turn the volume up some?
I'm coming in as best I can on this patchwork program we've got tonight. I am traveling. Can you hear me at all?
Yes. I'll make the best of it.
Okay, thank you, Joe. We'll suffer through it together.
Okay. I was just thinking here that perhaps if I could give a little overview of the two new political parties, it might make your audience understand better what's happening in the Tea Party movement. Would you mind me doing that?
Let's start from the beginning, Joe. It's your dime, your dance floor.
Okay. Well, we do have two new political parties. The former Republican Party is now the Neoconservative Party, and the former Democrat Party is the new Progressive Party. And, of course, these philosophies have been integrated for some years, but they've come out, both parties, full for in their new and aggressive political philosophy. The Democrat Party, formerly, it is now known as the Progressive Party. And the Progressive Party is nothing but pure Marxist communism, which believes in redistribution. In other words, taking wealth from the producers for redistribution by force. And this is an old concept, of course, but it's relatively new in the United States. And the philosopher progenitor of this movement that the president, Barack Obama, adheres to, was created by Saul Alinsky. Saul Alinsky formed the Industrial Areas Foundation, which ultimately was the gave birth to the SEIU, the Service Employees International Union, which is nothing but a communist group, which made up mostly of illegals, gays, minorities, women, etc. And they've made tremendous inroads into reshaping, as Obama said he would, our republic. On the other side of the coin is the former Republican Party, now called the Neoconservative Party. And the Neoconservative Party was invented by a man by the name of Irving Kristol, who was an immigrant from Russia, who taught and believed in Trotskyism, and this ultimately gave rise to just outright fascism. And fascism, a short description of fascism, and I know some of your audience is probably wondering how does this connect, but soon hopefully they'll see. Fascism is a nexus or connection between corporations and or businesses with the federal government or with a government, where there's produced a symbiotic relationship, which means both of them benefit from that relationship. And then you have to always remember that the government is always the senior partner or the CEO. So that's what the Republican Party has evolved into. They believe in preemptive wars. They believe in torture. They embody the philosophy of Leo Strauss, who was a professor at the University of Chicago, and he taught the noble lie, ends justifies the means. The bigger the lie, the easier believed. World's governed by elitists, and the masses are nothing but subjects. So this is what we have. Unfortunately, there is no traditional Democrat or Republican Republican Party anymore, and we folks like yourself and your listeners are left in between, and we have to rise above this fray and take back this country as it was originally intended, as a constitutional republic based on the rule of law and the Bill of Rights. Now, with that said, back in April of 2005, there came a movement called the Minuteman Project, and I declared that that was the most beautiful moment, most beautiful political, civic moment in my life, and Barbara adhered to the same thought. And we were one of the early signers on to the project and looked forward to going to Tombstone, Arizona, the little Arizona town too tough to die, and there were thousands of us showed up at the end of March of 2005, and it was the most beautiful setting I've ever seen. People of all ages, all economic standards, religious standards, all coming there to defend the sovereignty and integrity of their country, in spite of what criminal Bush had to say about us and all the criminal activities he was involved in. And it was just a beautiful sight. Everybody assumed their duties. There was no rancor. It was one of joy, accomplishment, and there was a great accomplishment. The Naco line was sealed within 2 days. The San Juan Mountain area was sealed, and it was just something to be treasured. But it didn't take but just a matter of 6 weeks till the money changers and politicians of Washington, D.C. got into the act, and unfortunately, some of the principals could not withstand the temptation of money and fame, and the Minuteman Project went by the wayside, and what a tragic death it was. There are still some holdouts along the border, bless their hearts. They're really something special. But we cannot let this Tea Party movement become infiltrated, and there's already signs that, well, it's already happening. Which brings me to, looks like Fox News and neoconservatives have declared Sarah Palin as the titular head of the Tea Party movement. And her background interests me some, and some of her statements, and I will share them with you here. Sarah Palin is a product of the welfare warfare state in Alaska. By that I mean the warfare. Since World War II, the principal industries, if you call it that, in Alaska have been all governmental. The military-industrial complex and the forestry project. 70% of the land area, land mass in Alaska is owned by the federal government. So Sarah is a product of the welfare warfare state. Both of her parents were government employees, and so that made her a particular suspect in what her conservative beliefs are. Now, before she became the vice presidential candidate, two gentlemen on a cruise met her in Anchorage, Alaska, William Crystal and Fred Barnes. Now, William Crystal is the son of Irving Crystal, which I spoke of a moment ago, who was the inventor of the neoconservative movement. So, also in addition was Henry Kissinger. The three of these people vetted Sarah Palin and okayed her to be the vice president. And you wonder about Barnes and Crystal and Henry Kissinger, and you wonder about Saul Alinsky and Leo Strauss, and they're most all are Jews. We find that every organization that's intent on destroying Western civilization and our culture are Jewish-based, going back to the Frankfurt School. But in any case...
Hold that thought, and folks, I don't want you to forget where Joe is hanging on, because we're going to pick up right there, and it's very important right after this.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Please don't understand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the show, everyone. We are getting a very good amount of information from Joe McCutcheon, the proprietor of ArkansasFreedom.com. We're here to talk about the ineffectiveness or the ineffectiveness that will become of the Tea Party movement should the Zionist overlords get their claws into it, as they have so many good manifestations of conservative populism in the history of the last few decades. Joe was giving us some of that background history, how they have completely perverted the already corrupt two-party system here in the United States, and then Joe was giving us also a little information about how the Minutemen Project seemingly fell apart there before our very eyes in a very short span. And Joe's exactly right. That was a beautiful movement, a movement that we were a part of here from the very beginning. Joe, of course, will remember that we were conducting interviews with Michael Gaddy and others from the border there that first week of March in 2005, and then frauds like Sean Hannity and others began to, let's just say, promote it, and it went all downhill from there. But Joe, where we left off before the break, you were talking about apparently a very interesting conversation that took place between Sarah Palin and a few agents of the regime there in Alaska, just before her ascension to the vice presidential candidate.
William Crystal and Fred Barnes and Henry Kissinger vetted her to be McCain's vice presidential running mate, against, by the way, McCain's wishes. But fast-forwarding up to last week, continuing this Sarah Palin enigma here, Sarah Palin made the statement that Barack Obama could be more popular if he would attack Iran. I was just absolutely mortified by such a statement as that. I just couldn't believe that she would make that statement, but then it was followed by another statement. He could also become more popular if he would do more for Israel.
What
and
more
here
could
we're
he
giving 12 to $15 billion a year to Israel, and they're routinely called our friend, yet they spy on us, they sell our military hardware, and compete against us in every regard, and they're called friends, yet they've been wagging us for these wars in the Mideast, and here she's fanning the flames to attack Iran. This nation is bankrupt. We've got military presence in 130 countries all around the globe. It's just idiocy and madness, and I want to think, well, she's making these statements through ignorance, and then again, maybe she's not. So I instructed a person to run the genealogy of see what her background really was. And very quickly it came back that it turned out that Sarah's mom and dad are both Jews, originally from Lithuania. Their parents are Jews, and Sarah's maternal grandfather is a Jew. So that, you know, that almost makes her an Israel firster, if in fact it does not, because the only people I know that are fanning the flames to attack Iran and increase the presence in the Mideast are Jewish people. They're not limited to. McCain wants to, Bush wanted to, and so on and so forth. But I have to believe they have a ring in their nose and they're being led. So then in the same breath, we find that Sarah is down in Arizona campaigning for McCain, who is a warmonger, amongst other things. And then she's back in Texas almost in the same breath, endorsing Rick Perry, who is the major player in the Trans-Texas Corridor, was a big player in NAFTA and GATT. And so then she's being the darling of many conservatives, unknowingly, the darling of patriots, independents, conservatives, Republicans, now neoconservatives. So it's really, that part is, it's going to be interesting to see how this plays out. And people have got to be known, you know, her positions on these extremely important points. And then by the same token, as I've said before, we can't let this movement be infiltrated by money changers, the 501c3s and 4s, and the corrupt politicians, which are already making inroads. And if they come to these Tea Party rallies, they should be sitting in the audience and questions should be asked of them. So I'll turn this over to you now, James.
Well, Joe, that's some very, very interesting information on Palin there. And, you know, this was someone who I almost had positive feelings towards at the very beginning, just knowing what little information about her that was out there at the time, that she had supposedly supported Pat Buchanan at a time, and there were some other things that seemingly boded well for her. But now, as the plot thickens, well, first of all, I think that, you know, if you are allowed to ascend to such a level of prominence as Palin was, or as she has, That should send up a red flag right there. You don't get multi-million-dollar book deals. You don't get paid $100,000 to give a speech if you are, well, people who really want to put America first, people who are really going to stick it to the powers that be. And let's just talk about that. You know, Reverend Ted Pike was on this program about a month ago because he was very concerned at the direction that the Tea Party movement was heading, not the people that make up the Tea Party movement, but certainly the leadership, which is apparently trying to derail them from making a positive difference here and threatening the establishment. And he mentioned that there were some things that were taking place at the National Tea Party Convention that took place in Nashville just a few days ago. And even he didn't know that Sarah Palin was paid $115,000 to give that speech. Now, seriously, Joe, does that sound like something that's, representative
of
a true populist movement, paying someone to give $100,000? And why is she even accepting such money anyway? I mean, what do we do? We go off and live off the land. If we ask for anything, perhaps maybe gas money, and then she's collecting $100,000 from the people she's supposedly fighting for?
Well, the $110,000 or whatever it was that she accepted a week ago last night paints our whole movement in a bad light. It makes us look like we're money-grubbing so-called populace out here. And I just detest that kind of conduct. And for her to come in and take $110,000, as I say, it negates anything she stands for, period. And
she should have come into the speech and gave them $100,000 if there was going to be any money like that changing hands. But nevertheless, I mean, you know, a lot of things there. There are a lot of things in play right now that are certainly very concerning to people like me and Joe. Joe's already seen this routine play out once with the Minutemen Project. We certainly don't want to see it happen with the Tea Party movement, particularly because there are just so many good people there that are trying to make a positive difference, but through ignorance or apathy, what is it, Joe? I mean, at some point, though, the buck ought to fall with the people who are going to these rallies. They ought to have enough sense to see what's happening and do something about it, throw the bums out, as they say.
Well, I think they're becoming more, I'm talking about our people, becoming more aware, more alert, more backbone, talking about not going into the clothes closet and whispering to their wife or husband. I think they're out front here now. And if they find out this, and they it can be proved to them, they'll shed her like a June bug. And another thing she's involved in, which is goes against my grain, she's out here fanning the flames of amnesty. And I, you know, it, of course, Jews have always been the guiding light behind mass immigration.
Hang on, Joe. We're going to come back with that right after this.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool Guys will be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever
do. All right, everybody. Continuing on now as this program begins to wind down, Joe McCutcheon, our featured guest, and he's on with some very interesting information and, in fact, some revelations about the Tea Party movement, or at least the leadership of the Tea Party movement and what they're attempting to do, and their standard bearer, Sarah Palin. I do want to make mention of the fact that at our website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, we do have this evening prominently featured in our blog an article, a very recent article, written by Joe and his wife that has been featured on their website, ArkansasFreedom.com. Either way, whatever website you go to, we want you to read that article. And there is also another article there documenting Sarah Palin's very large fee to speak at a grassroots movement that she supposedly adopts as her own. Anyway, continuing on, Joe, we have one of my co-hosts is on the line. He's going to ask you a question in just a moment about another one of these people who fit into the subversion movement, a man with whom you're very familiar, Mike Huckabee. But before we do that, tell us a little more what you think, Joe, the prescription could be to get the Tea Party back on the right track. How can the good people, the middle Americans, the working class taxpayers who want to put America first, how can they wrest control of this movement back away from the Sarah Palins and the Mike Huckabees and not let it become another reincarnation of the Minuteman Project, a great movement that was led astray?
Well, James, American people are very emotional. They generally react before they determine what the situation really is. So we've got to wipe aside the emotion, and we've got to delve in and find what the facts are, who the people are, and what their track record is, not what they say, but what they've done. And this goes in every political case. We've just, over the years, have not put these people under a microscope and they really examined what their real posture is. Their political posture, their religious posture, their principle, etc. And we just can't take this. And in that light, before I get back on this Palin thing, we've got to defeat every incumbent in government this November. We cannot. I don't care if they're the Democrat, Republicans. What? We've got to get rid of them. They're the cause. We're in this mess. They're all criminals in one way or the other, and they are selling this country down the tube by design. They're trying their best to wipe out middle-class America, which is the heart, soul, and fabric of this republic. They get rid of us, and it's easy sailing for their world control. And people have to understand that. It's hard to believe that our government is such a criminally vicious operation, but it really is. And you just have to follow this day by day. Now, Sarah Palin is out here fanning the flames for amnesty. And then in addition to that, she's saying, well, the United States is a nation of immigrants. That is a bald-faced lie. We're a nation with immigrants. And let me just throw out, I won't go into a long diatribe on this, but here's the test for truth of a nation of immigrants. Ask what a true nation of immigrants would be. If it's absent a founding group or majority, it would be no nation at all. I think you'd agree to that. but a random gathering of people and assorted races and religions and nationalities. And the only thing in common that these groups would have was the land they're standing on. There'd be no native culture to provide national unity, and the population would tend to fragment on racial and religious lines. There'd be all sorts of upheaval and strife among the groups, and that's exactly what's happening in our republic today. We've allowed all these multinationals coming in here. They have no idea about, they bring their failed philosophies and cultures in and keep them alive. They don't acculturate, and you see what's happening. Our federal government thumbs their nose at those of us who work so hard to seal our borders and want our various federal laws upheld. And our governors always use the canard, well, it's a federal responsibility. We are one of 50 states, each people living in a state. We are obligated legally and constitutionally to establish our sovereignty. And our governors are yellow-bellied politicians, self-serving parasites, and won't touch that with a 10-foot pole. They've got to go, when all of them have got to go when it comes up. And here again, Sarah Palin, politically correct, out here saying, oh, we're a nation of immigrants, and we need to give these poor people amnesty, which these poor people are 25 to 35 million, and they make up most of the numbers that don't have health insurance. And it might be interesting to you and your audience to know that Obama said that he was seriously considering writing executive orders to satisfy his agenda, national health care, trade, and whatever else he's got going. So that we have a dictator there, and they've all got to be removed legally.
Well, I mean, in the power to remove them would stand to reason lie in a great grassroots rebellion such as the Tea Party if we don't allow a handful of people at the top end to absolutely run the train off the tracks. Now, it's not just them. I mean, there are, as we were talking earlier today, Joe, carnival barkers and flim-flam artists all across the spectrum, one of which, and I don't want to get too far off the beaten path, but I know co-host Eddie Miller has a question pertaining to the susceptibility of the evangelical community to be led astray by false prophets, if you want to use the term, like Mike Huckabee. Now, Ed, you've seen this in your church. What's your question for Joe, and we've got to do it quick?
Well, right off the bat, well, Joe, I'd like to say you're one of my very favorite guests, fella. This is Eddie Miller here.
Well, thank you,
what Eddie. You've been talking about is a perfect segue to what I want to ask you. I'm in the Campaign for Liberty, and we have a lot of people there that are, evangelical Christians, and they say the same old thing over and over. There's a few people listening tonight that I know of, and they especially want to hear you talk about Mike Huckabee, because Mike Huckabee is another sellout, traitor, parasite. And they keep saying, well, we got to give them the benefit of the doubt. They don't realize what they're doing. They're just naive. And I try to tell them, Joe, anytime you get to be a governor of a state in the United States, you're not that stupid. I mean, they know exactly what they're doing. And Joe, if you don't mind, I would like to give these people that are listening, I'd like you, it's come right from the horse's mouth, what you know about this wonderful Christian, Mike Huckabee.
Well, I will tell you, on our website, ArkansasFreedom.com, what James was alluding to a moment ago was beware of the return of the Republican and neocons and questions about Sarah Palin. If they'll turn on our website and read those two articles by my wife, Barbara, they will be enlightened immeasurably. If they'll also go to Arkansas's own Trail of Tears, they will read about Mike Huckabee's criminality. He overrode the United States Constitution, Article 1, Section 10, which states that there will be no engagements with foreign nationals by anybody except the United States Congress. Mike Huckabee flew the state's airplane, or he didn't fly it, his pilot did, flew him to Mexico City and met with Premier Vicente Fox at the time to cut a deal to build a Mexican consulate in Little Rock. And this consulate was subsidized by taxpayers. It serves as a warehouse for illegals, for dispersing illegals around the state of Arkansas, Tennessee, Missouri, and other states for illegal workers in the chicken plants and other things. Huckabee has a trail of crime. He cut a deal with some kind of so-called religious outfit in Atlanta, Georgia, outside of Atlanta, Georgia. I've forgotten the name of it. And he got a contract of Arkansas Medicaid into the millions with this outfit in Georgia. So go to the Arkansas website, arkansasfreedom.com, dial down to Arkansas's own Trail of Tears, and you will see a factually laid out history of Mike Huckabee and his criminal activities.
Joe, I appreciate that, and I know there's several people who are listening.
Because I knew that was going to be a question too loaded to answer in the time we have available. But Eddie, continue on. But I'm glad Joe referred him to the website. But Eddie, I know you have a couple of final comments.
Joe just did great. That's all they need to know. And I told him pretty much what Joe said. But I told him Joe, if anything happens in Arkansas, Joe is there, got his thumb on the pulse of Arkansas politics. I told him about how Joe was one of the original founders of the Minuteman Project. And Joe, I could not agree more with what you said about these incumbent politicians. You know what? In fact, matter of fact, we've had a politician who's ever even served.
Hold on.
Oh, okay.
You're playing our song. So we'll be back. One more segment with Joe McCutcheon, and then we're out of here. We'll be back right after this.
We'll be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
I hope this last hour tonight with Joe McCutcheon is leaving an imprint on you. We've got to do better than what we're doing here. We can't allow every single time we get an organization or a movement afoot that stands to threaten the regime that we allow it to get taken over. I mean, I think after 6 years of broadcasting, you can count on this radio program to hold the line. You can count on Joe to hold the line. But there's got to be more of us out there than that. And we've got to coalesce and we've got to come together and get organized and make a difference. And we've got to be able to do it without being subverted every single time. I mean, am I missing something here? I do want to remind you very quickly to consult Joe's website. It is an encyclopedia of information on all sorts of subject matter, from Mike Huckabee to the Tea Parties. ArkansasFreedom.com, www.arkansasfreedom.com. And, of course, on our own website, thepoliticalcesspool.org, we also have featured one of Joe's most recent articles. I want to take a call from California for Joe in just a second, but first I want Eddie to relay to Joe a final point from his point of view, and then in just a moment we'll allow Joe to wrap everything up for us. Eddie, back over to you.
Okay, I was going to run one thing by you, Joe. Now, this would be my solution to prevent the Tea Parties from getting being taken over. Like I said, I'm in the Campaign for Liberty, for one thing. All right, what we should do is, like they started out in the beginning, you would not allow one single politician to speak. They couldn't even get near the podium. No one could be allowed to speak unless you had never served in political office before. And another thing we do, instead of licking these stamps, like me and James always talk about, we're tired of licking stamps, we're tired of making phone calls to Washington. What we would do with our tea parties, instead of having a tea party in some park, we would march down and shut down major intersections. For like in Memphis, we would shut down Poplar and Union Avenue and march down to the federal courthouse and surround that sucker with our signs and hand out our pamphlets to have people like Amar Alexander and Bob Corker tried for treason, which they are. They're treason. They're traitors. They're treason. They need to be thrown out. They need to be tried and get the penalty for treason.
Eddie's ambitious, but I will tell you this, Joe. It was successful when people took to the streets in protest of the Tennessee state income tax in 2002. They did exactly what Eddie said, and the income tax fell. But, Joe, a quick prescription from you on what perhaps we could do to save the Tea Party movement, and then I want to take a call from California.
Say again. I'm sorry, I missed that.
No, I'm sorry, Joe. I'm talking faster because I know we're getting short on time. I was just saying, Eddie is coming up with some good prescriptions.
Yes.
What is yours to save the Tea Party? And then I'm going to take a call for you from California. What can the people inside the Tea Party who are listening tonight or will listen to this interview in the archives, what would you tell them to do
at this point? Number one, back to the Medicaid contract that Huckabee issued with Georgia, the name of that outfit was the Lord's Ranch. What I would suggest in the Tea Parties is know who you're doing business with. It's just that simple. Know your people, and you can use the same tactics on them or against them that they're using on us. It's not a one-way street. So just know who you're doing business with. And I learned that many years ago in business. You just you need to any compact you make, you need to know who it's with.
Well, you don't allow someone to just come in and talk a good game without checking out their background. I mean, how hard is it for you to be, a double agent to come in and have a certain agenda?
They want to get in.
You blow
it. They're that sharp.
What was that, Joe?
I said it'll be infiltrated from the government aspect. If they want to infiltrate, they will. They're masters at that.
Absolutely right, and we've got to do a better job of vetting our own people than allowing them to just come in and blow smoke in our direction without checking out their background. If they walk around with a big enough Bible, we believe that they're true believers in the Constitution, and that's not always the case. In fact, it very rarely is the case. Mishko from the Voice of Reason Network with a question or a comment for Joe. Mishko, great to have you back on the show. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, hello.
Are you there, Mishko?
Yeah, I'm here. How are you guys doing?
Great show, good. Thanks for tuning in and for calling in. Do you have a question or a comment for Joe here before we run out of time?
I would say that Joe's got a lot of it right. I would say that with regards to the aspects of what's happened with the Tea Party movement, they started out great, a great ideology, but at the same time, it got co-opted real fast by people like Glenn Beck. Who's a neocon. You got Sarah Palin, who is a Israeli firster, and people like that. And all the Republicans are kind of like migrating to that. I mean, and these are people that are not in our interest. I mean, and when I say not in our interest, I'm not talking about Americans. I'm talking about white Americans.
Yeah, and you're talking about something, Mishko, that we've said in exactly as many words on our own blog, on our own website. If a movement at this point is not explicitly pro-white, then it's something that we shouldn't have anything to do with.
Well, and James, I mean, I know that, and hopefully Joe's heard about this, is the American Third Party position, which is a3p.org, I believe is the website. I mean, that is something that Tea Party people, white people, need to migrate to. I mean, it is in the interest of white people. I mean, I personally know people that are involved. I'm not involved myself right now, but I'm planning on getting involved more so here in California, and that's something that we have to do. I mean, there's nothing that these folks in office are doing that are in our interest. I mean, there's nothing. You know, Sarah Palin, are you kidding me? You know?
It's nice to hear you say that.
Yeah, if Sarah Palin's the best we can do, we're not looking too sharp. But, yeah, real quick, Mishko, I do want to say, and you set me up perfectly to say that we are having Bill Johnson, the chairman of the American Third Position, on the show next week as a featured guest, so people will be able to learn a lot more about that particular organization. Certainly one worth looking into. Joe, a final comment for you before we run out of time. Is there anything that we failed to cover that you think is important?
Oh, I think we've covered a great deal. I hope that some of it sticks, and what I say is all factually derived, and I don't come out with wild statements, and I just hope our people will dig in and say, this is the last call to breakfast, and we're going to save this republic.
Well, absolutely right, Joe, and thank you for doing the research and bringing it to our attention this evening. Folks, if you have been interested in the Tea Party or want others to know about the truth that was revealed tonight, please refer them to our broadcast archives where they can hear it on demand at thepoliticalcesspool.org. And don't forget to check out Joe's website, too, arkansasfreedom.com. Joe, thank you for your service to this republic and for your
friendship. Give my best to Danny, and good night.
Good night, Joe, and I sure will. Eddie Bombardier Miller, a final word from you.
My way, I have one more solution to add to our arsenal to keep the from getting infiltrated. First of all, we should not have any large central organization, for instance, a Campaign for Liberty, so to have one big national organization, we should have 100 of them. I mean, they can't infiltrate all. You know, if you have a little organization, in, for instance, in each county in Tennessee, say, for instance, we have 50 organizations in just in the state of Tennessee alone, they can't infiltrate every single one of them. I think that would work, James. What do you think about that, fella?
I certainly do think it would work, and it's good. Yeah, you just can't have a large central organization. It's never worked. It doesn't matter if it's the government or whatever. It's just too hard to manage, too easy to corrupt. But I got to say again, you know, and I don't. It pains me to have to bring this information to light about the Tea Party movement. I was the one who really had high hopes for it, and I think there's still hope that it can be salvaged and it can play a role in the reclamation of America's destiny, but not as it's going right now. You know, not on the path that they're on. They're going to have to change course and get back to the way they were upon their inception. And throw, you know, paying Sarah Palin $115,000 to come and give a talk to a group that she's supposed to belong to. I mean, that'd be like me, you know, charging you, Eddie, $115,000 for me to host this show. I mean, it just doesn't make sense.
Well, it makes.
But if you want to pay me that, I'll take it.
It makes sense to those parasitic people like Palin, man. And as far as these Southern Baptists, like, and I'm one of them, I think we just have to cut the rope loose on them. I don't think they're going to be educatable. If they hadn't learned by now, I don't think they're going to be able to be learned.
Yeah, and I'm in there with you, Eddie, as a member of that denomination. I tell you, they're disappointing. They're disappointing politically. They're disappointing, but. What are you going to do? We're doing all weekend and doing this radio program, and even then I wish we could do so much more. But thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for tuning in tonight. I hope you've enjoyed our guest. What a great show. Keith Alexander, the first hour, razor sharp as always. Jim and Trish Fijo in the second hour talking about alternative health. That was a very, very good interview. And then, of course, Joe McCutcheon, always at the top of his game. He's been with us for nearly 6 years as a regular guest, and we look forward to the next conversation with him already. Ed, thanks for calling in. I know you're down at the Gold Strike Casino tonight, you know,
yep,
rolling those bones. So
my wife,
I'll let you get back to it. Go win us some money. You know we need it. We live off the change underneath the cushions in order to keep this radio program on the air. But ladies and gentlemen, we're out of time. We will see you next week. God bless you, and remember to live life the way we do, that retreat, surrender, or apology.
To learn more about us or to make a donation to keep this program on the air, go to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.